Welcome to The Afterglow. The Afterglow podcast gives women, we're talking to you, the permission and tools to live life according to your own rules.
Yes, this is a platform to educate and empower women identifying humans through intriguing conversations with courageous Canadian women who are breaking down limiting beliefs and outdated rules. These women have done it, are doing it, or can provide tools for you to do the same.
We are Julie Watson
and Liz Doyle-Hermer.
And we started Afterglow, our yoga studio, after years of staying home to raise kids. Now, as podcasters, we want to help others do the same. Step into your own power. It's time to shake things up and get real about who you are and what you want.
The Afterglow is your next act. It's what came after you did what you were told and instead decided to do what was in your heart. It's how you have reinvented yourself. It's your vision for the next 40 to 50 years. It's when you took your power back.
Welcome back to The Afterglow. Today, we're super pumped because we have been struggling ourselves with this topic. And we actually have our friend here to discuss the menopause. Welcome, Samantha Monpetit-Huin. She is a founder of SAM Core Trainer, where she coaches women 40 plus with the most comprehensive online health management program for women during menopause and midlife. She is a serial entrepreneur, media expert, speaker, teacher, mentor, course creator, and author. She's busy. You can catch her fitness segments on The Marilyn Dennis Show and most recently on CBC's The National. Samantha has been a recognized expert in her field for two decades and was awarded the Abundance 2019 Personal Trainer of the Year and Canfin Pro's 2021 Specialty Presenter of the Year. So welcome, Sam. We are so happy to have you here. We're craving dying to just sink our teeth into knowing more about you, but also this material that we're going to cover today.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. Thank you. I'm gushing. Can you see?
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm really excited, and I'm super passionate about this topic because it is so close to home. For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where to start with you because I love your energy. I love everything you've been doing for so long. And let's just go there. Let's start with this, with menopause then. What are you most passionate about? Tell us what has driven you to take this on right now?
Well, I think it started for like a lot of people in the middle of a pandemic when we were locked inside and couldn't do anything. And I was working out like crazy just to keep myself from, you know, jumping over a cliff. And I really feel that at that time, people either did nothing and they just sat in a corner or they, you know, really pushed their bodies, which is what I did. And it was also a time when I did start to notice, I would say in the last year and a half, that my body was starting to change. And I'm like, what's going on here? But pieces didn't really start to come together until, you know, like anything, when you start talking on your phone about things, and then all of a sudden you start getting targeted ads on your phone, on your computer, talking about menopause. And I'm like, what is that all about? And even though I have been in the fitness industry for over two decades, I've always aligned my business with the stage of life that I was going in. So you guys know me, like when I first started, I was in pre and postnatal because my kids were babies. So that was very much, I really believe, and it's, I'm being very biased, and this is a personal opinion of myself, but I really feel in the fitness industry that if you have lived experience, mm-hmm. when you're working with your clients, you're going to get much better results for those clients, right? Not to say Absolutely. That a man can't train a woman or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's really difficult when you're a woman in midlife to have another woman, but she's 25, who has no concept. And I mean, do you guys remember what I never thought? Like, I remember thinking in my early 20s that when you're 50, you had one foot in the grave. Like mm-hmm. life was over at 50. And here I am thinking, man, I am just getting started.
I love that.
So So as my business started to grow, as my children started to grow, I started less and less focusing on pre and postnatal. I do have a specialty in core and pelvic health. So everybody has a core and a pelvic floor. So I'm always going to focus on that. But then I just started, you know, focusing on more on women my age and as they were transitioning through life, just like I was. So then it was like focusing more on 40 plus, but kind of not getting the idea that women 40 plus, there's a pretty good chance they're at some stage of perimenopause. And it was just in the last year and a half that boom, like light bulb started flashing. And I was going, oh, maybe I'm going through that too. Mm. And the thing is like, I don't have a uterus. So it's kind of hard for me to know where I am in that stage. And this is why I love, can I give my naturopath a plug?
Yeah,
of course.
Okay. So Lisa Watson, naturopath extraordinaire, who's here in Toronto, but she does work virtually for those people who live in Ontario. Wink, wink. I've got her so busy. All she does, her zone of genius is hormones. Mm-hmm. She works with men too, but primarily with women. And so I was like, okay, I need to figure out what's going on. So I got my hormones tested, found out, yep, I'm smack dab in perimenopause. But when you have that information, wow, it really takes the idea out of I'm going crazy. I have no control over anymore. All of these things that go through pretty much every woman's brain when she's going through menopause, but nobody's told her about it and that you could even possibly, you know, be going through it. It really starts to make sense. So I figured like, okay, so if I'm a health professional and I know, you know, you guys are both health professionals too. We know the majority of what most people don't know, right? If we don't know this, I can't even imagine. The layman has like no idea, no clue. Mm. And so I just dived deep into this. I took a lot of courses and certifications and I was like, wow. And now, I mean, you know, we can see that like 50% of the population is going through menopause right now, some stage. Mm-hmm. So that's why the voices are getting loud and people are really talking about it. I'm so thankful that I'm part of that. And really, you know, giving a voice and start trying to remove the stigma and ageism and the whole thing, like all of it together. Mm-hmm. But, I'm very passionate about it. Cause I feel like I can finally talk to women, give them a safe place where they don't feel like they're alone. They're not being ignored. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Really common, especially from doctors and going and saying that I have, you know, I'm not sleeping well, right? And nobody attributes that to, well, okay, this could be menopause. Let's check your hormones. So it's just like, well, you're waking once or twice a night. You know what? That's kind of normal. Let's move on. And those are some serious symptoms that could really affect your life, right? Like, I'm curious about what your symptoms were when you first kind of started to notice this, because I have a list of some symptoms here, which is, it's mind-boggling, because when we think about menopause, we think about like loss of period and hot flashes, but there's like losing sleep every night, right? Disruptions that affect your mood, your energy, like your relationships, right? Menstrual bleeding, so heavy. And then obviously times where you're not bleeding and then all of a sudden it comes back and you're like in the wrong place at the right time. Hot flashes that can happen like all day long throughout the night. So your night sweats are like you're actually soaking your sheets, right? Yeah. Flights of anger, pervasive dryness in your skin, your nails, your throat, your vagina. Like that's a lot of symptoms that we don't even discuss. We don't even talk about. Like, I didn't even know that my eye dryness could be attributed to menopause, right? And some people have such serious eye dryness. They're getting glasses. They're lubing up all the time. Like, tell us about yours and then I'll maybe go into some other symptoms I haven't mentioned. And like, what the hell is going on here? Why are we ignoring this?
Well, I mean, we're ignoring it because we know that when it even comes to healthcare, like women are on the bottom of the list, right? I hate to say that there's such a lack of research and support in women's health. And then menopause, it's like, what are you talking about? So when we were talking about me being on the national in the beginning of January, they actually talked to a doctor who is a menopause specialist. And she said, in front of the whole wide world, she was not taught about menopause in medical school.
Right.
So that's she crazy. Had her own extensive training on her own, right? So she could understand. But yeah, so it's funny with me too. So I'm wearing contacts right now. And it's only in the last year or two, I'm like, I freaking hate contacts because my eyes are so dry. I'm walking around with my, I got eye drops in every bag, everywhere. So for sure, like everything dries up, right? But then not just that. So with me, my own personal experiences were, and this is even before COVID, actually, there was a couple of times where I would wake up. It wasn't consistent at all. I'd be waking up in the middle of the night and I was hot and I'm like, what's happening? And so that was actually the first time I saw Lisa Watson, my naturopath. And so she had me do a whole health questionnaire. It was very extensive. And she said, well, I'm going to give you some supplements. And if that doesn't resolve, then we might have to do a low progesterone patch. Not having any idea really what that was related to until after I was like, oh, because when you're in perimenopause, out of your two main sex hormones, progesterone is the one that drops first, the most significant. So now I'm putting the pieces together, but it turned out she gave me the supplements and I've been sleeping. I've been fine. But I did have that
amazing
about 4 or 5 years ago. It was a very short term, but I'm glad I talked about it and she listened to me. Thank you. Right. For me, my boobs grew like no one's business.
So wow. I haven't heard
that's not a bad thing. I mean, for the people who are flat chested, yeah. That's not a bad thing.
Okay. So, but it kind of sucks because a year before I just went to, you know, Sophia's on the Danforth and I got fitted for two nice bras.
Beautiful bras.
Now they don't fit me.
Oh my gosh.
Like $300.
That happened fast.
My boobs grew. Wow. And I'm like, how come nobody talks about this?
Never
and my
heard
girlfriend
that.
Who actually owns a lingerie line, Mayanna Janvier, here in Toronto. She said, oh, of course your boobs grew. Anyway, so my boobs grew. They were quite sore. And then I did notice I was starting to get a little bit of more weight gain around the belly. And I'm like, what's happening? I'm not sitting down. Like, again, I was the person during COVID. I wasn't like sitting and eating all the food. I was moving every day. Also, I still had to run my business online. I was doing a lot of TV through Marilyn Dennis online. So I really, you know, the pressure to look a certain way in the fitness industry, which that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed that. I also noticed that my feet grew and I was like, what, am I pregnant again? Like,
right.
There's no baby. But I'm having a lot of the same symptoms. So I knew they were all hormonal, right? And I think what the clincher was, I remember being at the gym about a year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years ago, maybe it's all started 2 years ago. And I'm sitting there working out. And then I just looked around. I was like, I don't want to be here. And I got up and left in the middle of my workout. Mm-hmm. And I came home and my husband was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't want to work out. He's like, what? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get it because that's another thing. So so all of our hormones obviously decline over time, the closer we get to menopause. Testosterone, which everybody thinks is the man hormone, I can't even speak properly. Do you know that we actually produce more testosterone than estrogen?
Yeah, and does that go up during menopause or down? What happens to it? What happens to testosterone?
It all goes down as well.
Okay. Down.
Now but the thing is though, is you might hear about estrogen dominance or other things because in relation to others, some hormones become more dominant until you know, you find your homeostasis again. But so I was like, I guess my testosterone is totally tanking. And it was really interesting. I've never done that. I have been going to the gym, getting up at between 5 and 5:30 for about 17 years.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden it was like, I don't want to get up and go to the gym anymore. So for that, that was the big thing. I wanted to sleep more. I wanted to sleep so much. Mm. I was like, it's bedtime, 7 o'clock. I'm going to bed.
I hear that.
And so that's for me.
Yes. Yeah. I can relate to that, especially around exercise. I can relate to that. Cause I'm also very, I have been very like a fitness junkie and lately I still do it, but it's like, I'll run, you know, 3K, that's enough. Whereas before it would be 10K. Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, that's fine. I'm fine with that. That's all I could do today. Yeah. That's great. I got out. So I've really noticed that shift for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious.
Very interesting.
Sorry, we're having this conversation. We're giving voice to menopause. And you were just on the National. Congratulations, by the way. Amazing. And the theme of the 10-minute long segment was menopause, right? And the whole theme was giving voice to menopause. Julie just found an article on the New York Times. So I'm curious, is social media helping around this, removing the stigma? What's different now compared to when our mothers were dealing with this? What's different now?
Well, I think the difference is people are talking about it out loud, right? I don't think my mother ever said the word menopause to me. Mm-hmm. And she's not even that much older than me. We're only 17 years apart.
Oh, wow.
She's a teenage mom, 17. But if you ask me what I think about, my mom has been hot basically her entire life. I feel like she's been going through menopause for like 30 years.
Oh, she hates poor things.
She's always sweating. She's like always taking her clothes, you know? So I guess that's her experience. And I know for me that I knew now looking back that I did not want to have that experience. I love my mother to death, but she's not a healthy person. She doesn't really lead a very healthy lifestyle. And what a lot of people don't understand is you can make a big improvement in a lot of your symptoms by really focusing on your health. And I know easier said than done. I understand all of that, right? Especially when you're used to living a certain way the majority of your life, and all of a sudden you're 50, you're like, what am I going to do? Throw everything upside down? And it's like, no, you can make baby steps, little changes, but we have to understand that the way we eat, the way we move, all of these things affect our hormones. And I literally have people say to me, they go, do you think it's hormonal? I'm like, absolutely. Everything is hormonal. Like, right. I have a saying that I say to my clients that think of hormones as the puppeteers and we're the puppets. So when your hormones are on, you're on. When your hormones are off, so are you. Right. And so what we're trying to do is find that balance again. But people don't understand, again, and you guys can relate because you're in the fitness industry, how much just taking care of yourself can impact that. People really minimize it. They're looking for a pill, looking for a quick fix. It's just like, it's like diet culture. It's like so many things. I want something instantly. I don't want to have to actually work on this. And it's like, this is your health though. You should be working on it.
Well, the other message is too, especially in the health and the fitness industry, is working really hard and doing your hour-long workout and lifting heavy weights or, you know, whatever it is. So tell us a little bit about the exercise change, because I know you have like dramatically changed the way that you work out. And I actually love that because I remember being 30 years old and doing these insane workouts and thinking now, like, it actually turns my stomach to think about even going and doing that kind of a workout because there's no possible way I could. But also my body, it's not that I'm just not strong enough or I don't have the cardio for it. It's like, I actually feel physically sick afterwards if I do something like that. My body doesn't respond the way that it used to. So tell us about the actual exercise factor and what you've changed and what needs to change.
For sure. So for years and years and years and years, I was going to the gym 5, sometimes 6 days a week, right? And I'm all about lifting heavy. That's really where I feel. I love anything that makes me feel powerful. Like I could take on a bear or something in a forest, which that won't happen. Now the thing is with menopause, you absolutely, I say to people, and I've always said this, even with pregnancy, I said, if you should do anything, when you're choosing your exercise, I always believe that strength trumped cardio. Okay. Not to say that we can't, I mean, of course we have to do cardio for our health, of course, but I'm also very strategic. If you've got a really good strength training program, you should get your heart rate up, right? If not, it's like, well, what are you doing? So the guidelines for exercise in menopause are, yes, prioritize strength training for sure. Because of the drops, and more particularly with estrogen, and because estrogen plays a big role in your metabolism, when estrogen really starts to drop significantly post-menopause, that's when a lot of women really notice muscle decline. And that's when your muscle actually just, I don't want to say deteriorates, but really you lose muscle faster than you can create it, okay? And we know the risks of losing muscle. Now you're losing mobility, you're at a much higher chance of injury, fractures, all of these things, right? And so absolutely, strength training should be your number one priority. And the guidelines also say 2 to 3 times max a week.
Ooh, I like that new.
Exercise or strength?
This is strength training.
Of strength, strength 2 to 3 times. And does now, it have to be weights or body weight? Is that okay?
No, it has to be weights because you really want to, you want maximal effort and you want to fatigue the muscle between 8 to 12 reps max. But I even try to, when I set programs with my clients, we eventually build them up there. Cause if there's someone who just started, I'll give them lightweight, but I'm like, the quicker we can get you to lifting heavy where you can fatigue the muscle within like 8 to 10 reps, I would be happy. Hmm. Number two, if you don't want those exercise sessions to be any longer than 30 minutes.
Oh, I like that too.
Yeah, me too.
I know. And you know what? It makes me think of years ago when I had my hysterectomy. So actually, I think next month is going to be my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
happy no uterus anniversary. I hired a girlfriend of mine who used to train a lot of people for competition. And she made my workouts only 30 minutes. And I said, why? She goes, otherwise it's too stressful on the body. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, okay. And I loved it because I was in and out of the gym in 30 minutes. I was like dying, but it was good. And so what it turns out now, because of the, again, hormonal changes that are happening in menopause and the significant drop in progesterone. So they're like sisters, right? Estrogen and progesterone, they're the yin to each other's yang. Estrogen is the partier. Progesterone is like the one that's like, let's just chill out, right? Progesterone helps us to manage stress and helps us to sleep well, which is another reason why in perimenopause, a lot of sleep disruptions start to show up. But when progesterone isn't there at the levels as it was before, it can't block the negative effects of cortisol, which is our stress hormone, right? And even though we need cortisol, because cortisol is also an energy hormone, when we have it at chronic elevated levels, cortisol doesn't know whether that stress is positive or negative. So even though exercise is a positive form of stress, it's still a form of stress, mm-hmm. Wow. Right? So, so that's why, so when I was seeing all this, I was like, oh, and I was kind of like you, Julie. I was like, this is great. I can like be in and out of the gym in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that though, I don't want these exercise programs longer than 30 minutes. I want you exercising the entire time. This doesn't take in consideration rest periods. So when I go to the gym, it's probably longer, like 45 minutes, but I'm lifting super heavy. And I usually rest between, like if I'm doing chest press, for example, I'm resting 2 to 3 minutes in between lifting, right? But the research also shows that when you are, because it's only 2 to 3 times a week, it shows that you get more power and strength from giving your muscles 72 hours in between workouts as opposed to 48. Mm. Right?
So you wouldn't and go like so, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You would kind of like go like
go
Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
I'll go like Monday. I'll go Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm still getting my 3 days a weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm really honoring that. Now, again, nothing's perfect. Sometimes I do it every second day, like whatever, right?
Yep.
And I also listen to my body. And this is what's really important during this time is women really need to listen to their bodies, right? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel good, if you're exhausted and you're saying what we used to do in our 20s and 30s, oh my God, I'm exhausted, but I'm going to go push myself. I'm going to do my workout. Why? Like you have nothing to prove anymore. Because mm-hmm. in those cases, if you're doing that, then like the whole point of exercising is to give you energy, not to come home and then take a nap, right? Mm-hmm. There's something, you're missing something, you're not listening. And because our body is going through such massive changes with our hormones, we really need to honor that. And I know it's frustrating because I had a new client sign up with me about a month ago. And Julie, you were talking about how you did crazy workouts when you're young. And I did too. But one thing I never did is I never did the insanity workouts because just the whole name, I was like, I'm not there.
I did try those.
Yeah.
It's on a videotape. It was on I'm sure. DVD.
Is that like whatever his name, Horton? Is that what his, yes. Tony Horton?
So he did P90X. Yeah.
I did all the P90Xs. Yes. Oh, I did all those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So not interested. So this client of mine, that's all she used to do 5 to 6 days a week.
Oh, wow.
That's all she did. But she noticed that this that she was starting to gain weight with menopause. So she went back to doing those workouts, and she reached out and she goes, "What's happening? I just keep gaining weight." Mm. And I'm like, "Yeah, because you're stressing yourself so much. Cortisol mm-hmm. is like right up into the ceiling." Mm-hmm. And so when I said to her, I said, "What if I told you I only want you to work out 2 to 3 times a week?" Like, there was just a dead silence on the end of the phone. And I said, "I know what you're thinking. You're just watching yourself blow up overnight. I know, because we've all fought it, right? But you really, if what you're doing right now isn't working, it is time to do something different." But yeah. Again, as women, the whole idea is if we're gaining weight, well, I'm just going to exercise more. I'm going to go harder mm-hmm. and I'm going to eat less, which both have proven to increase cortisol. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to
which puts on weight. The cortisol puts on weight. But, you know, Sam, I'm curious, what are you mentioned that, you know, a big part of thriving through menopause is taking care of yourself. And so what are your self-care non-negotiables? I heard strength training 2 or 3 times a week. What else is in there? What are the physical, mental, spiritual non-negotiables that you just do to take care of you?
Okay. I absolutely have to get outside for a walk every day. Absolutely. There's no, like, unless there's a typhoon, I'm going to touch wood.
You too. Me too. We don't want that.
I don't know. Yes. Like, no question. If that is a non-negotiable, I have to get outside and I have to go for a walk. I do have very much, because I'm very much a rule follower. I do yoga probably 2 to 3 times a week. I'd love to do it every day, but I don't love it as much as I love strength training. But the outside is so essential for me. I meditate every day. That's a thing. That's something I practice with my clients, but I notice what my energy is like when I don't meditate as opposed to when I do. And, I'm in bed by 9:30, the very latest every night.
I'm the same. I have 8 and 10 year old. So I climb in with them every night, put them to bed.
I go to bed before my kids. I'm like, good night.
Yeah.
Like, bedtime is my most favorite time of the day.
Same yeah, here. Same. And my coffee in the same. Morning. Yeah.
So my daughter wants to have a party tomorrow because she just finished a big dance production.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, at our house? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Are they leaving at night?
Yeah. And I said, leave at 11. She looks at me. She's like, Mom. I said, okay, 1. And then so my husband's like, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? Have you met me? Like, what are we doing? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sleep in the basement.
Okay. Now, there's a solution to it. There's a solution. So here's the question too, is like, you were talking about this, like different stages of life that we go through, right? Like, you know, when we were younger or whatever, but like we go through puberty, right? And we know about puberty and it's taught in schools and we accept the changes that we're going to go through with puberty. And then we go through, you know, our sometimes like a metabolism change in our 20s or whatever. And then if we choose that we're going to have children, then we go through the pregnancy and we change things because we know that this is what's good for our body during pregnancy. We don't eat the thing and we change the way we you're not exercising the same way when you're 25 as when you're like pregnant and 30, like you're just not. And then as we get older, what is it about us that does not allow us to accept menopause or perimenopause and the changes that our body's going through? Is it just lack of education, stigma? What?
I really think that that's a big part of it. Like, again, what we were saying earlier, like doctors aren't even talking about it. Like it's not like you, when you go into a doctor's office, you see all kinds of puberty brochures and pregnancy and fertility and all, you don't see anything about menopause. There's not even general information for you to pick up a brochure and kind of skim through it, right? Just like there's nothing about pelvic health, right? And so I remember hearing somebody on Instagram talk about, like, most women know about pregnancy, even if they choose that they're not going to have children. They still have a pretty good idea that this is something, you know, that is going to happen, that you would do these sort of things. Like they have a pretty good idea, where there's nothing when it comes to menopause. Right. And so I think maybe that's another thing too, with women, that there's a little bit of a pushback that they're having a hard time accepting it because no one has told them anything until smack dab, they're in the middle of it. And they're so frustrated that Now they just kind of say F you to everybody, because why didn't, you know, that's when people are getting angry. Mm-hmm. I really believe it is a lack of information. And, you know, I've even had clients who are kind of like angry at their mothers because they're like, why did my mom tell me? And it's like, because, well, think about what their mothers probably like. It was nothing. It was like a hush, hush. We don't talk about that. We don't say those things, right? So I really do believe a big part of it is lack of education. That, you know, these are the conversations I'm already having with Rain, my 17-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. and Rio. They're liking all my stuff on Instagram. And now, instead of like joking and going, oh, mom, is it just menopause? Like, right. They're like, oh, is that menopause? Yeah,
that reminds me of the stigma attached to it. But like when you say I'm going through menopause or I'm in perimenopause or whatever, people are like, ooh, like all of these negative things, negative connotations. And we were talking about the New York Times article. I just want to read something from it here because it reminds me of exactly what we're talking about. And it's almost like this is like the angry menopause podcast, but we do have reason to be angry. So she writes, imagine that some significant portion of the male population started regularly waking in the middle of the night, drenched in sweat, a problem that endured for several years. Imagine that those men stumbled to work exhausted, their morale low, frequently tearing off their jackets or hoodies during meetings and excusing themselves to gulp for air by a window. Imagine that many of them suddenly found sex to be painful, that they were newly prone to urinary tract infections, with their penises becoming dry and irritable, even showing signs of what their doctors called
I mean,
atrophy.
Just right there, that would
That's
be.
It. That's know, it. Well, they already the went and did something stop. About that. Yeah. Imagine that many of these doctors had received little to no training on how to manage these symptoms. And when the subject arose, sometimes reassured their patients that this process was natural, as if that should be a consolation enough. Right?
Imagine. Like, oh. And it's hard not to get fired up and get angry when we hear that. But we know that it's so patriarchal and full of shit. Had to say it, sorry. But, you know, it makes me, when you were talking, it made me think of when the national story first came out and they showed it on YouTube. And I don't know why I started reading some of the comments. And while I'm reading them, I'm like, Samantha, stop reading them. Don't read the comments. But I could. And the amount of men who were complaining about the story and going, oh my God, women complaining again. And quite a few of them were like, well, what about the changes that men go through? And I'm thinking, are you for real?
Yeah. Right.
The entire world is created around white men. Can you just give me a break right now?
And the changes that they go through. But there is a solution, which like you're talking about, and that's what we don't know about enough about. So there are the solutions, right? Yeah. And the hormone replacement therapy, or I don't know what it's called now, menopausal hormone therapy, that does exist. What's your take on that in terms of like the patches or the pills?
Yeah, for me, and this is very personal, right? Because I really do believe in, you know, making wise choices for yourself, informed choice, right? I'm a big fan of HRT. I haven't read a ton, but the books that I have read, and two books I really recommend that my clients read, is Estrogen Matters and The Estrogen Fix. And they talk about how, you know, the Women's Health Initiative, that study that was done over 20 years ago, and doctors are still following that advice, which is so archaic. Anyways, that there's so many benefits to estrogen beyond hot flashes. So here's a little bit of an issue I have with our Western medicine, is a lot of doctors do believe that you don't need to have your hormones tested and that you should only prescribe hormones based on symptoms. Well, we also know that there's estrogen receptors, a lot of them in our brain and in our heart, right? And so a lot of these things that are happening with the decline in estrogen, like heart disease, Alzheimer's, can be helped with taking hormone therapy. But what if those women don't have any symptoms? So that means they don't get to have the same, you know, choice because they're not sick, right? And that's where I like Eastern medicine and I love my naturopath, because it's based on not just symptoms, but also let's try to get your hormones working in a way that you feel comfortable. So I already told her, and that's why my most recent hormone, when I got blood work, she said, nope, you haven't gone through menopause yet. Like, My TFH is still quite low, but when I do get to that point, I already told her, I absolutely want to be on hormones for sure, because I know of the risk factors of not. Now, again, it should be a very individual choice. People have to be able to sleep at night knowing that they're doing it. But I mean, let's put it this way, you know, when the health initiative, you know, study came out, there was a lot of women who were on hormones, and most of them were taken off, and a lot of them severe depression. Like, and I'm not quite sure, don't quote me on this, but I also think I read somewhere that there was also some like suicide as a result of that, because a lot of women, all of a sudden they're smacked back right into like their quality of life has been taken away. And so when I say to people, you know, when you feel like shit, it's usually because your hormones are all tanking, right? Like, why all of a sudden do you feel like shit in menopause? It's because your hormones are not doing what they used to do before. So how can hormones be bad if we have them all before? And then, you know, you'll get other people arguing, well, but, you know, menopause is natural. Absolutely it is, for sure. But there's also things that we can do to actually make ourselves better. We also know that, you know, muscle and bone loss is natural, but does that mean we're not going to exercise? We're just going to let our muscles deteriorate and our bone loss, so we're all a bunch of frail people walking around? Just because it's natural doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't do something to help ourselves feel better for prevention. That was a long answer. I'm sorry.
No, but I like that. I just want to clear up the misconceptions around the HRT, because there were those studies done like 20, 30 years ago, and the news came out that these hormone treatments created a higher risk for cancer, specifically breast cancer. But more recently, the studies that are coming out and really proving was that they weren't tracking the age of the people. They weren't tracking other I forget what the word is, but like
other risk factors.
What they might have already been, pre-risk factors, those kinds of things. And so what they're saying now is the earlier you start the HRT, the better for you. The later you start, so it's post 60. If you're starting these treatments post 60, your risk factors increase. There's not no risks prior, but the risk factors are, it's not what the studies were showing before. And so this HRT actually can save you, right?
Yes. So a lot of those people, and it's in one of those books that I just quoted, like the Estrogen Fix and Estrogen Matters. Can't remember, I think it was the Estrogen Matters, that a majority of those women were over 60. A lot of them were smokers. And they had other health factors already, like heart disease or something else, right? So it's not like they took these healthy, you know, low risk people going through menopause. Plus, so the safe window is within 10 years of menopause. So 10 years of the last day of your last period, right? So if you don't go through menopause until 55, now I'm not quite sure how that adjusts, because like then technically you would say then you're safe up to 65, but then there is some risk associated after 60. But then, you know, I always question that, like, where do these numbers come from? Because if she's not going through menopause at 55, like, is that like an ageism thing that now you're just kind of, you know, putting a blanket statement on 60 and saying, well, then you're done? But that doesn't make sense. Because what if you got a really, 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 really strong and healthy 60-year-old, and you don't have a very, you know, healthy and strong 55-year-old? Why does the 55-year-old take, you know, precedent over the 60-year-old? That doesn't make any sense to me either, right? But that's kind of healthcare in general. So those two books really even talk about the importance of taking estrogen, even if you are somebody who does have a risk of breast cancer or has even had breast cancer in the past. So that's why it really has to be a very individualized, obviously, approach and choice. And the person who's taking the estrogen also has to say, okay, are you willing to, you know, take the risks to, you know, feel better? And I can't remember, I was reading an article or something, and a woman had said to me that she's been on estrogen for like 20 years. So she's late 60s. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'd much rather take, like, and if it's going to shorten my lifespan, she goes, I'm fine, because it's about quality of life for me, right? Not quantity. So it's,
Sam, As I'm hearing you speak, like, what sticks out for me is your passion for this, right? Your commitment to women through all stages of life, and their fitness through all stages and your passion for it. And one of the things we like to explore on our show is, you know, what gets in the way of you pursuing your passion? And so was there ever a point for you where you were like, where you had doubt about what you were doing? Was there ever a point for you where you were like, do I want to be the person who speaks about the pelvic floor? Or do I want to come out and talk about menopause all the time? Have you ever experienced doubt on the way to living your purpose? And if so, how have you handled it?
Of course, all the time. What are you talking
about? Because you all seem so confident.
I know. And I'm a big believer. I mean, I even tell my clients this, like, act as if, right? But I do suffer from imposter syndrome, just like everybody else. Like, doesn't matter how many courses I've taken. It's like, oh, but what if I'm not really right? And what if I said the wrong thing? And so one thing I have to say as I get older is I'm way more transparent in that I say, in my opinion, or I'll say, don't quote me, but I think this is what I heard. Like, I don't say things that, like, you know, this is absolutely true and blah, blah, blah. And I do really believe in informed choice, but I guess the way I look at it is if I could just give somebody a little bit of hope, and I do have to remember that as a fitness and professional, as you guys, you know, well know, even though to me, so many of this seems like it's just common sense, the majority of the population don't know. Mm-hmm. So I have to hold that space and go, okay, you know, even though I'm not perfect, right? You know, that's one thing about menopause is you do give less fucks, more and more and more and more. And I just know that if I can go to bed at night and say that I've done everything that I've done with integrity and to the best of my ability. And if you don't like it, well, bye. Bye. Mm-hmm.
It's a great tip. And
I love
that. Go ahead, Julie.
When you were talking, Liz, about her passion, like your passion, mm-hmm. Sam, it comes through so strongly. And, you know, you can tell, I love how you sink your teeth into every bit of knowledge that you can so that you can be able to say, you know, this is what I know, or this is what I've heard, and don't quote me on this, but this is, you know, and you're actually going through it. So you have the life experience. But what I feel like you're doing is, I mean, giving us hope. You're here and you're giving women hope that there is a way to possibly feel better. And I just want to mention that you are coming to Afterglow to do this amazing Menopause 101 workshop on February 26th, 2 to 4 p.m., and that it's half sold already. So, you know, 85% of women are experiencing menopausal symptoms. So this is important. And if you're out there and you're questioning or you're wondering, I mean, Sam has got the finger or finger on the pulse, is that what we say, like, of this. And I feel hopeful about you know, knowing that as I move into this phase, as I'm already moving in, I'm already on the progesterone, mm-hmm. I'm already changing the way I eat so that I can feel better. I already feel so much better. I mean, Liz can attest to it. I was like a walking zombie for months, if not years, for a little while there. And so the hope is that, you know, these symptoms, the not sleep, they can be fixed. They can be at least resolved a little bit. The idea that you can't think and that see, I'm losing words. Like, that's an example. Like, when you can't think of the words properly and you feel like you're, like you said,
all the time,
you might have Alzheimer's, like the those things, like, there's hope, because the more knowledge we have, the more we know, okay, this is the phase. How do we move through this phase with more grace? How do we move through this phase by using the tools that are out there, like HRT, like exercise specific, you know, guidance, like the food? You're giving us all hope. So, I mean, I'm so grateful that I have obviously been following you on your journey for many, many years, but that I saw you start to transition into this and I was like, yes, yeah, okay, we've got somebody who can help us. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you for that anyways. And that I do feel like all of this information, though small, and if we had 2 or 3 hours, we would continue talking about it at all, because there's so much to cover, which is why, you know, workshops and opportunities and hearing you on the news and watching you on the shows is, and following you on Instagram @SamCoreTrainer, right? Is that your Instagram?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's me.
getting more information. You did mention a couple of books. Who else are you looking to for guidance and information right now, like on Instagram or books? Who else can we?
So for sure. So Lisa Watson, ND, she's my naturopath. She does all kinds of posts about hormones and associated with menopause and not, but just hormones in general. So she's fantastic. My newest girl crush is Sarah Gottfried.
Oh yeah. I've been following her for years. Yeah. She's awesome.
I just like, what did I, oh, cause I was listening to a podcast. What's his name? He's a neuroscientist and they did a 2.5 hour podcast.
Huberman Lab. Huberman Lab.
Yeah. Did you hear that podcast?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like it's so good. Like so many good bits. And what I really love about her is the fact that she is, she is a gynecologist, but she also is a functional medicine doctor and she's a yoga instructor. So she believes in both, but she also admits that, you know, Western medicine has really missed the mark when it comes to women, menopause, hormones. And I was like, thank you. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of doctors out there who are on Instagram. Again, like I said, don't get your hormones tested. Don't do this. If your doctor's telling you to do that, it's a scam. And it's really unfortunate because there's also a lot of people who believe in, you know, Eastern medicine, different cultures. And disregard that, then you're basically disregarding a whole population and their experience in menopause. And so I really get quite angry with that. So Sarah Gottfried, I really found is like been that person who likes to bring both sides together and approach it. And it's a very logical approach. So
I'll check that out. Sam, what would be the one thing you want women to take away from our podcast today?
Oh my God. Only one thing.
What are the like one and a half things?
Please listen to your body. And I don't like using this term because I do have a couple of clients who do struggle with mental health, but you're not going crazy. You're human. All your feelings are valid. But please take this as an opportunity to find your people so you can feel better. You should not feel like shit in menopause. No.
Wow. I actually just got chills, like just hearing that. Like you should not feel like shit in menopause. Yeah. So let's just ask quickly. I know that we're wrapping up soon, timing wise, but what is your afterglow? Do you have an afterglow? Because it seems like you're doing whatever the hell you want when you believe in yourself 100%. Is there something else for you? Or is this it? Are you living your afterglow?
I really believe. I said to my husband late last year, well, I had my first high heels and hot flashes event in October of last year, which you guys have got to come to the next one in April.
Okay, I'd love to.
Came home on such a high and I looked at my husband. I said, the smartest thing I did in my business was to focus on menopausal women because these women need me. Oh my God, I just gave myself chills.
Oh, me too. That's amazing. So you're living it. You're living your afterglow. Well, I am so grateful that we have you in our orbit because we've been in contact and had your expertise all along our journeys as well, which has been amazing. And now we get to do that and use you and have you in our presence again and your expertise for our menopause workshop. But also, let's just keep the conversation going. Let's keep, finding ways to share the new research, the new studies, the new ways that we can all just feel better.
Yes, I agree. Let's keep talking and loudly.
Nice. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sam. We love you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you.
Wow, that was amazing. Are you interested in learning a little more about menopause? How about a lot more? Make sure you join us on February 26th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Afterglow Studio for the Menopause 101 workshop with Sam. She's got so much more to share.
That's a wrap for this episode of The Afterglow. Yet another courageous Canadian sharing her vision.
Do us a favor and lift a sister up by sharing this podcast with others who want to find their afterglow. And let us know, what do you want to hear about? Who do you want to hear from? And what is your afterglow? Slide on into our DMs at The Afterglow Podcast Official and leave us a message.
Did you love this podcast? Be sure to like and rate us on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you tune in. Until next time.